I've never read Bud, Not Buddy. I think I need to read that book. Sounds like that's an interesting set of commandments that Bud set up for himself. And it looked as if, even though you wanted to make sure, John, while you were reading, that we had at least a couple of young people up here who were mouthing along with you as if they knew exactly what was there in the book. So, if our young people can remember a passage from Bud, Not Buddy, you all must be able to remember all 10 commandments, right? Should we have a quiz? Oh, please, let's not, right? I was thinking a few weeks ago as I was looking at this text, a text that we all know so well and that comes up in the Revised Common Lectionary from time to time, that we kind of know what the Ten Commandments are and we have an idea what's contained therein, but we don't all remember them word for word. And so I want to offer us a way that we can always understand how to carry those commandments with us and what they mean for us. Those commandments don't just drop from the sky. They do come down from a mountain. God offers them to Moses, and he brings them down and shares them with the people. But they occur within a context of a narrative. These commandments, this covenant that God makes with Israel, comes in the middle of a story, a fantastic story, a story about a people suffering from oppression, and a story about a God who hears their cries, knows their need, and reaches out to deliver them. That God takes them out of Egypt, across the sea, into the wilderness, and to a mountain where that God reminds them what has happened, who God is, and therefore who they are. That's the story within which we receive these Ten Commandments. In fact, that's how they begin. God says, "I am the Lord your God." God lets them know not only who God is, but what God has done. God is about a project in the world. God brought these people out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Therefore, you should have no other gods before me. Now, we're 21st century Christian folk, and we live in North America, and so we're surrounded usually by conversations about there is only one God. And yet, when those first escaped slaves, those gathered Hebrews, that burgeoning people of Israel heard this commandment from the mouth of Moses and from the hand of God, they were aware that there were other gods, that there were other names that they might put before the name of the Lord their God. You don't often think about that. We live in a monotheistic world in some ways, even though we've got interfaith brothers and sisters who are not monotheists. Day by day, week by week, my guess is when you think about God, you don't think, well, this God, not these other 100 gods or these other 100,000 gods. I want to single God out to be sure no one makes a mistake. It wasn't the case when the Ten Commandments were first offered to the people of Israel. God wanted to say, look, look, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You were being oppressed. I heard your cries. I intervene because of who I am, and I want you to know who you are. I've taken you out by my hand. I've surrounded you with my arms, and I will lead you into my promise. I am the Lord your God. Don't have any others. Well, that's the story as we get it in the book of Exodus. It's in the middle of God delivering the people from the land of Egypt, from slavery, on their way to the promised land. Oh, they had no idea it was going to be as long a trip as it turned out to be. But that's the story. We have these Ten Commandments in another place. We have it also in Deuteronomy 5. And there the story is Moses reminding the people about what has happened. They're just getting ready to enter into the promised land, and Moses wants to remind them about where they have been together. Moses says, remember what happened. Remember how God intervened in our lives, freed us from oppression. Remember how we were. Remember what God did for us. And when God said this to us, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of this land. I took oppression away from you. And in the story in Deuteronomy, Moses goes on, after Moses recounts all of these commandments, Moses then recounts what I actually heard one of our young people saying to John from the next chapter of Deuteronomy, often known as the Shema, which means hear or listen up. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God. The Lord is one, or the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. Moses commands the people then to take that, put it in their hearts, and on their foreheads, and on their wrists, and on their doorposts, and in their children's ears, and in their children's children's ears, so that it can find its way into their hearts, and their wrists, and their foreheads, and their doorposts, that it can be a part of their lives. Moses goes on to say, y'all remember that story, y'all know that law is so important to us, but here's what happened. We got halfway out of Egypt, and we started wondering if God really was our God. The wilderness started looking tough, and we started asking whether the food was better back in Egypt. Goodness gracious, they had flesh pots in Egypt. They had really nice cucumbers in Egypt. Remember that little cafe by the pyramids? Oh, to die for. But Moses reminds them, that's what you were doing in Egypt. You were dying. People were oppressing you. You were being forced and dominated by one who claimed to be God, but was not God. And so these commandments, these Ten Commandments, come to us in the middle of a story, and then in the middle of a story about a story, and we receive them here today in the middle of our story. We are called to know that God is our God and that God has a project in the world. God is about delivering not only one people, but all of God's people from oppression. We acknowledge God as creator. We acknowledge God as deliverer. We acknowledge God as sustainer. That means as you move into the world, whether or not you know what commandment number 7 is, you've got a starting place. God is our God. There are no others. And this is a God that recognizes oppression and delivers people, calls them into community together, leads and protects them. This God is for us. The Lord your God. Also, because we get these commandments in the midst of this story, and then in Deuteronomy, in the midst of a story about the story, we're reminded that these commandments aren't offered to you as an individual. Of course, you'll enter into them as an individual. We are all embodied spirits as such. We experience the world from our individual points of view. But these commandments are given to a community. We receive them communally because they set up community life. A community life based on God's project of love, of deliverance, of leading a people into the world. forgive me, but sometimes I kind of chuckle when I see that there are people who think that the most important thing they can do in their lives is make sure that the Ten Commandments are engraved on a wall, or put up in a poster, or recited all the time. It seems to me that every time we think the most important thing we can do is to put a picture of those commandments somewhere, we're turning them into an idol, which is one of the very first things God says not to do. It's not about making sure that they're written somewhere so everyone can see them. It's more about making sure that our society is sharing what it means to understand that God is our God, and that we've received into our hearts and into our way of life what that means. So here's what that seems to mean. As Moses is telling Israel the story of the Ten Commandments, reminding them before they enter into the promised land in Deuteronomy 5, he continues on and he gives them some warnings. He says, now look, as we were going along in the wilderness, these things happened. Don't you remember them? There was that time there was no water and you grumbled and you didn't have faith, and I did too. And yet God provided. And then there was that time when there was no food and we weren't sure what to do, and then God provided food for us. We found it each and every day on the ground. We weren't even sure what it is. That turned out to be its name. Well, what is this stuff? Manu, manna. And then remember, there was that time when I was going up the mountain and God was speaking to me and giving the law and planning all these wonderful things for you, and you were down at the base of the mountain melting down all your jewelry so you could get yourselves another god. And remember the time that we were slaves in Egypt and we didn't think there was any way out, and God intervened for us in such power and such persistence and such promise that our very lives were changed. Remember? Remember? Take that with you whenever you go and wherever you go. And then Moses also says, look, when you get to where you're going, when you enter God's promised land, don't forget your story. Don't you dare be slave masters. You were slaves. Remember? Don't you dare oppress foreigners. You were wandering in a land foreign to you and you were oppressed. Remember? Don't you dare turn your back on the widow and the orphan. That's how others do it, not how you are called to do it. Remember? And time after time, piece after piece, Moses tells them the story of where they've been, who they are, and whose they are. Well, there are more commandments in that story, hundreds more. Things that you can observe, things that are very important, ways of life that can help guide a community. And one time Jesus was asked to boil them all down. What's the greatest one? And Jesus replied, he gave him a twofer. He never answered questions just like you were thinking he would. But what he did was he gave the greatest commandment in a way that helped us to live those Ten Commandments. He begins by quoting from Deuteronomy 6. He quotes the Shema. And in our Second Testament or Christian Testament text, it's got a little bit of a nuance that's added in the Greek. But basically he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And a second is like it. Here Jesus goes to Leviticus and says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you remember John Gerdes just a few minutes ago saying, The first four, love the Lord your God, and then 10 minus 4. The other six is about how we relate to one another, right? Your mother and father, honor them. Professor Clint McCann, professor of Hebrew at Eden Theological Seminary, often shares with people that as he looks at that Hebrew, he sees that sense of heaviness, that you understand the weight of the relationship with your parents. Your community will be a more faithful and wholesome and successful community if you understand that you are connected to one another. You have familial bonds and they matter. And then we get the rest about murdering, about stealing, about coveting, about lying. The commandments come to us in the midst of a story, and then in the midst of a story about a story, and then they come to us in our story. Where are the pharaohs today? Are people still being oppressed today? Is God still being called upon to be a delivering God today? Yes. Yes. And in the midst of this context where people are still oppressed, oppressed because of whom they love, oppressed because of the color of their skin, oppressed because of where they were born, oppressed because of their gender, oppressed because of economics, we, as people of God, are asked to get these commandments inside of us, to understand who God is, and to know that God is one who delivers oppressed people from their oppression. Moses then called the people to begin to live like that was true. We are called to live like that is true. Don't you know that your foremothers and fathers were suffering under oppression and they were delivered out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage? Don't you know that the God that delivered them is the God that created all the universe and loves all people? Don't you know that that God will not stand for oppression? That God will stand against oppression. And don't you know that that's how you're called to live your life? We've been gifted with these commandments. They have been a part of a covenant that has been established with us and God. Our Jewish sisters and brothers have shared that commandment with the world. The Christian faith has embraced those commandments. Islam has embraced those commandments. And as you look at the tenets of many of the faiths of the world, you'll find commandments that look just like those. But something's wrong. The story isn't over yet. We haven't all made it to the promised land yet. I was at a social justice organizing workshop yesterday, led by Reverend Dietra Wise Baker, Christian Church Disciples of Christ leader, working now for Metropolitan Congregations United and the National Benevolent Association. And in her presentation, she reminded us that about 0.1% of the people in the United States own over half the wealth in the United States. Oxfam reports that in this last year, globally, the 1% of the wealthiest people in the world own 83% of the new wealth created in the last year. That sounds like a pharaoh-ish pyramid scheme to me. That sounds like a house of bondage to me. That sounds like the same old story to me. But sisters and brothers, we know how that story goes, and we know how that story ends because we are in that story. Here's what happens when somebody or somebodies set themselves up as Pharaoh and mistake themselves for God. God hears the cries of the people, and God delivers them. God throws down the idols, and God lifts up God's people. We are living that story. We must live in that story. Remember the old Ten Commandments movie? It used to be on every year around Good Friday in our calendar. It might still be on every year around Good Friday in our calendar. Charlton Heston is Moses. The other day, couldn't sleep. And so in the evening, I put on my headphones so I wouldn't wake up my spouse and turned on the television in our bedroom and watched another Moses story. And we always forget that when Israel left Egypt, there were lots of them, the story says, and they took lots of stuff with them because they had to be sustained for the journey. And they knew that God would lead and sustain them, but they also took stuff. They took animals, they took jewelry, they took all kinds of things with them. They were resourced, even though the wilderness journey was hard. And I want to remind each and every one of us today, we are well resourced. Even when the journey is hard, even when the numbers don't add up, even when we think there's not enough, God provides for us. Day by day, so we can stand up for the covenant that we've entered into. We can say we will not buy into the pharaonic story, the pyramid scheme that says some should have and others should not, that some are worthwhile and others are not, that some are beloved and blessed and others are forgotten and cursed. We're well-resourced. We have our story, we have this commandment, this covenant, and we have God's Spirit moving through us. As you leave this place today, remember that Spirit travels with you. As you move out into the world for this week, remember that you are called to embody that covenant. As you see other people, as you encounter their faces, remember, the God who loves you loves them fully and completely. And when you see someone being oppressed, forgotten, abandoned, pushed down, and pushed out to the margins, remember, you are called to embody that covenant that brings people together, that lifts people up, and that moves people forward. That's our story. Not just our history, but our story. We don't just tell it, we are called to live it. We haven't just heard it, we're asked to internalize it. It's who we are. If you want to put the Ten Commandments up somewhere, I have a suggestion. Put them up in your life so that when you act in the world, everyone knows that God is your God, that you know the story of deliverance, that you understand what it means not to live in a land of oppression and to imagine a land of freedom and plenty, that you honor your relationships, that you understand what it means to bear true witness, and to honor your neighbor, and to honor your family ties. In that way, the Ten Commandments will be visible everywhere you go. Without posters, without tablets, nothing wrong with tablets and posters and statues, but they're not the heart of the commandment. The heart of the commandment is the covenant that we are called to place upon our own hearts, and to live in our own lives. And for that, thanks be to God.